You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. The Dodgers gave the city of Los Angeles its second championship of 2020 after the Lakers won the NBA title earlier this month. Just the third time that a city or a metro area claimed both the NBA and baseball titles in the same year. All three involved Los Angeles. 1988, Dodgers-Lakers. 2002, the Lakers and the Anaheim Angels. And then last night, 2020 Dodgers joining the 2020 Lakers. We'll get to your phone calls. People are riled up over a few things here. Kevin Cash, the manager for the Rays, pulling his starting pitcher, Blake Snell. And people looking at that move saying, you shouldn't have been married to analytics. Maybe you should be dating analytics, not married to analytics. Corey Seager was named MVP. I thought Mookie Betts was on full display showing you why he is maybe baseball's best all-around player. Certainly in the conversation as one of the great all-around players, doing it with his arm, with his legs, with his bat, his intelligence. No baseball tonight, no NFL tonight, no college football tonight. And as we look ahead to Thursday night, well, do we look ahead to Thursday night's game with Carolina against Atlanta? It doesn't seem fair, you know? I love me some Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think Christian McCaffrey's going to be ready to play. This will probably be a referendum on the Atlanta Falcons and what they do in the future, if they're going to be a seller at the trade deadline, which I don't think they're going to. Phone calls are welcome. We'll talk to Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, a little bit later on. In an hour from now, the manager of the LA Dodgers, Dave Roberts, will join us. One of our favorite guests, Sean Casey, MLB Network analyst, former player. He'll join us coming up in a little bit. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. By the way, my Mookie Betts homered in Boston's World Series clinching win in 2018. Did the same thing for the Dodgers last night. He's the second player in baseball history to hit a home run in a World Series clinching win for two different teams. Would anybody like to guess the other player who did this? Been a guest on the show many times. Colorful, controversial. I don't know if anybody in baseball history took a bigger swing than this player. Reggie Jackson. He homered for the A's in 1973, the Yankees in 77 and 78.
Stat of the day.
I'll take
stat
it.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
By the way, if you're interested in the analytics, I brought this up first hour, but it's worth repeating. Blake Snell's ERA by inning in the postseason. This is before last night. He pitched 24 and a third innings. His ERA in the first inning was 3.60. Second inning, 0.00. Third inning, 1.80. Fourth inning, 0.00. Fifth inning, his ERA was 14.73. There is some data to fall back on as Kevin Cash is looking at these numbers and realizing the third time through the lineup, that's when Blake Snell runs into trouble. Here is Kevin Cash talking about why he pulled his star pitcher last night.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions, and that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
And I understand that, but I also have to factor in this is Game 6 of the World Series. You have to win this game. Is the guy who's coming in from the bullpen going to be better than the pitcher who's on the mound? And that's where I can't always abide by analytics. You know, there's rules in, if you play blackjack, there's certain things that, you know, you get to a certain total and then you'll hit or you'll double down or you'll stick. This isn't This isn't blackjack. Because there's the human element in this. So I can have analytics with blackjack. But, the dealer is not, he's emotionless. You know, they're just rules of what they do. And when you decide, hey, I got 14, I'm going to stay. I got 16, I'm staying. The dealer is showing whatever. This is different. This is baseball, the human element in there. And that's what I want to know. The way Blake Snell was pitching, was he going to be better than the pitcher you're bringing in? And Anderson had not pitched well in the postseason. That was my big question. That was, as I said at the time when I'm watching this last night, I just have to take, I have to take attendance here with everybody in the infield. Like, come on in. Let's get a feel here of what's going on. Or I go right to my catcher and just say, you tell me. If you were me, would you, would you keep him in? Does he have the velocity here? Does he have location? You know, how's that breaking ball? Because he knows. He's there. And I didn't see anybody really tee off on him. To start the inning, that's a solid base hit up the middle. And that might have made Kevin Cash nervous and just said, I don't like where that ball was. He didn't fool anybody on that. And I got Mookie Betts coming to the plate. The odds are not in your favor. You got Mookie the first two times around. Are you going to get him the third time around? And that's probably what Kevin Cash is thinking. I can't kill him for it. In the moment, I did, but he still had a philosophy that got them here, and I didn't think they were a good team. I don't know how they did it. They had great pitching. They had pitching depth, and he was trusting that depth and the analytics that were attached to it. And if you didn't have a Rosarena, you had no offense. Like, you had nobody you could really go, I know that guy's going to do something. I know that guy's going to get on. Watching the Dodgers, I knew Corey Seager was going to get on. Mookie was going to do something. Like, I just got the feeling there were players that were going to do something. And I didn't get that feeling with the Rays. And the reason why, when I made my prediction that the Dodgers and Rays would play and the Dodgers would win the World Series was, the Dodgers, I knew, would hit, and if they got pitching, they were going to win. The Rays, they had pitching, and if they got hitting, they were going to win. And that's really what it came down to. Yeah, Paulie.
Some of the Rays' starting players, their batting average for the World Series, 111, 188, crazy. 125, 111, 143. Those are six different starters hit under 200.
There's part of me that liked the controversy attached to Blake Snell, because it's forcing a lot of people to talk about baseball today. A lot of shows that normally don't talk baseball are talking baseball. And, while you might not, might be critical of Kevin Cash, might be critical of Justin Turner going out and celebrating, we're at least talking baseball. I don't know what would happen if there was a Game 7. Like, how long do you have to wait? Everybody gets tested. What if, because Justin Turner was around his teammates. Could they have played Friday night? It was just bizarre. It was just like, you go, wait, where's Justin Turner got pulled? Why did he get pulled? Nobody telling us why he got pulled. And then you find out this test came back during the game. And then baseball has to call the Dodgers and say, you got to pull him. This program brought to you by Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, the flannel destination for the whole family this fall. It's an unbelievable section of flannel in there. You go in, you can get lost. They have their annual Flannel Fest at retail locations across North America. You can shop their current flannel deals in-store online today. McLevin, what's the poll question today?
Okay, the question is, always trust your gut or analytics. 85% choose your gut.
Yeah, you only get one here. Kevin Cash only got one. He was trusting his analytics, not his gut. Yeah, McLevin.
Let me rephrase this. If you had a baseball team in your town, would you want them to be an analytics team or not an analytics team? Assuming you want to win a World Series.
Wow. You're leading the witness there, aren't you?
Well, I mean, you don't have to look far to see the analytics teams are the ones winning everything.
There's certainly a place for it, but there has to be...
in the World Series title there, circle.
Okay, but analytics also cost the Rays last night.
Maybe. By the way, we've ripped Dave Roberts 1,000 times for not pulling Clayton Kershaw, and now we're ripping Kevin Cash for pulling him. So it you never know. That's all I'm saying.
I know. Yeah, see.
Right, but that can't. I hate to try and be a measured person here, but can it just be that the analytics works and sometimes it doesn't? Sometimes it was the wrong move. Like, isn't that okay? It's not flawless. It's not perfect.
Well, you can say
this, it's certainly a smarter approach to baseball, but it's not flawless.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can make a decision, and it, you know, 90% of the time it's going to work out. It's the 10% that it doesn't. But I think you have to have the human element in baseball, in a gut feeling of somebody going to the plate. How many times has a manager said, you know, I just had a gut feeling? How many times has he said, you know, I thought that he was the right guy to send up, or I was going to leave him in for one more bat, or I decided to take him out and put somebody else in for him? And he doesn't say, you know what, we did the analytics. It was based off of, I just had a feeling. Now, that might be subconsciously based in analytics, but there are times when managers make a decision and it's based off just the feel of the game. Yeah, McLovin.
But that often goes wrong, too. It, like Seton said, it's a gray area. Yeah. Sometimes these work, sometimes they don't. But, you know, do you really trust a grown man wearing a Little League uniform? No, that's, why do managers wear uniforms anyway?
I don't know. Could you imagine if NBA coaches had to wear uniforms?
That'd be awesome.
Like Phil Jackson out there. Stan Van Gundy out there.
But which would be weirder if you saw Dave Roberts wearing a three-piece suit in the dugout with nice shoes standing there on the side.
But didn't managers back in the early 1900s, did they wear a suit?
Connie Mack.
Didn't they wear a suit in the dugout? Yeah, McLovin.
Can I ask you one baseball question? Doesn't it seem like every time there's a great story, it often risks getting overblown by a negative story? Like, there's always something a little off lately. The Astros, you know.
Oh, I know. But, you know, the Justin Turner situation, I didn't want to spend too much time on it. It just doesn't look good. And he was told not to go out on the field. And if you want to wear a mask and go out there, fine. He didn't want to wear a mask, you know, during the picture. When did baseball know that he had tested positive? And it's coming back during the game. I hate to have a blanket statement on it, but it feels like once the game starts, then we're going to play this out. He's already been around his teammates. I just think baseball felt like if we don't do something, we're going to look like we're covering up something here. But they had gone 58 consecutive days without a positive test. And then somehow you get one in game 6 of the World Series. Rob in Ohio. Hey, Rob, what's on your mind today?
Hey, boys. First time, long time. 6'2", 185. Dan, I like your comment not being married to analytics regarding the Snell situation. Of course, that's what I'm calling in for. But here, I think it should be more like the show Friends, seriously dating. But at a certain point, we're on a break, and that point is game 6 of the World Series when your guy is dealing. I mean, I love analytics. There's a lot to be said for what they do. But in the limelight, you got to let your stars be stars. Beckett, Schilling, Baumgartner, Gibson. I mean, like you said, the worst part is they brought in Anderson. And, well, I mean, what had he done to prove that he could get through
that? I know, that was the only thing that, if I have a gut feeling, it's he hasn't pitched well, and thanks for the phone call. Whereas Snell is pitching well, and his last outing, he pitched well. The 12 starters in this year's World Series pitched an average of 4.4 innings, with a high of 6 innings by Kershaw Game 1, Buehler Game 3. This is the second World Series in which no starter went more than 6 innings in a game. The other time, when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. Good friends from Twiddle there, stat of the day. Todd's got mock headlines. Dodger mock headlines. Toddler, are you ready for this?
I sure am.
How's your Okay, you're Kevin Cash going to the mound. How's your confidence level?
I feel good about it. I feel like I'm making the right decision.
Okay. Now, is this based off analytics or your gut?
Well, my gut is not the way you want to go.
Okay.
So I better go with analytics.
Here we go. Here's Todd with mock headlines.
Blake Snell, decision to pull him stinks.
Okay.
Seager MVP, want to bet? Mookie Betts maybe could have gotten the MVP. Oh, I'm explaining. You don't want me to explain.
If you have to explain.
That's fair. Raise the roof. Dodgers topple Tampa. Would have been better for that if the Rays won, but I got to play on the words with the... Oh, I did it again. A Lowe's Arena. Great stats. No ring. A Lowe's Arena.
If you do that one more time, I'm hitting you in the face with a pie.
No Choi in Mudville.
All right.
I'm okay with that one.
Kershaw, we can forget past post struggles.
That's not good.
Analytics, can't turn another cheek on mound move.
That is not good either.
Not good.
No.
Not acceptable.
That is not. Not. The back room loved it. That should tell you. The backroom guys love that one.
Just in case you didn't hear, tough to mask optics. Mm, okay. Straight cash, homie. Kevin will have to manage blame.
All righty. That's Todd Fritz with mock headlines.
Oh, smattering.
It's not even a smattering.
Nothing.
That's just one.
Feels like Caroline's.
Oh, barely. No. You didn't even get that. You didn't even get that at Caroline's.
Hear a fly.
Well, the only noise when you did your stand-up act at Caroline's was when we knocked over the glasses on the table.
Yes. I thought I heard someone sipping a ginger ale in the back, but you'd have to really listen.
You know, when you're on stage and Todd could hear us sipping our drinks in the back of the room, it's like...
I could hear my stomach digesting at one point. I was like, look at hear that. Oh.
Not even a remote giggle from anybody.
No. It's okay.
Then you start saying curse words. Looking for a trap door, checking to see if your mic's plugged in. It's just you don't know what to do.
Yeah. But you're not going to do that anymore. You're not doing any more stand-up, right?
You never know. I like to put it out there like Trevor Lawrence. Maybe I'll go to the pros. Maybe I'll stay equipped.
So you're the Trevor Lawrence of stand-up
That's
comedians?
Exactly what I am.
Yeah, we'll play that for you. Trevor Lawrence at least left the window open. He left it open that maybe he would come back to Clemson. Is this his way of saying that he's not a big Jets fan? Because I don't care how much you love Clemson. You want to get started on that $400 million contract. You know, you get through first three seasons in the NFL, and then you say, all right, you want to lock me up like Mahomes in Kansas City? You want to get started on that. Yeah, McLovin.
Is the Jets that bad? Why are the Jets so bad? It's a huge market. They made the AFC title game like 8 years ago. You know.
It just feels like they're the Knicks of the NFL. They're not cool. They're not relevant. They're bad. It's not a sturdy, steady, strong front office. You're going to have a new coach in there next year.
That could be a good thing.
Well, it has to be a better thing than what you have, but I just – there's no there when you're watching the Jets. Like when you think about when you tune in, like I'll tune in to see Sam Darnold. But what else am I watching for? Yeah, McLovin.
Isn't that the nature of being number one overall pick that there's no, you know, you can't be any good? I mean, you got to start over. So start over with Trevor and do something.
Who does it feel like has more hope, the Bengals or the Jets?
Oh, definitely the Jets. The Bengals don't put any money into scouting. They don't pay anybody. There's no way they're going to ever go anywhere.
But they've gone to the postseason more often than the Jets have.
Don't remind
They've
me
gone to two
there.
Super Bowls, at least, you know, a long time ago, the franchise has.
Right, but aren't they pinned by their economic restraints? That's where the Jets are not.
It feels like I feel better with Joe Burrow if I'm the Bengals. I mean, the Jets have money and can't win. I mean, at least the Bengals have a little bit of an excuse. They don't have the money or spend the money. The Jets spend the money, and they're not any good. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, have the Bengals ever signed a free agent of any note? I don't think it's ever happened. Not that you need to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody's breaking down the Jets' door to sign with them.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams was going to play in the XFL.
By the way, they're both better than the Jags right now.
I don't know. I think the Jags are in decent position.
Do you think that that'd be an option if you had to choose one of those also-ran teams?
If I'm, what, Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, if you're Trevor Lawrence, you might be interested in Jacksonville.
You know what? Maybe he should stay in college. Come to think of it, maybe he should stay in. Maybe he'll be a fifth-year senior. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. The manager of the Dodgers coming up top of the hour. In an hour from now, Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills quarterback. Up next, he's one of our favorites. He's Sean Casey of the MLB Network. It's 21 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This isn't fair, but it's funny. I have a friend who's a Dodger fan who just sent me a video. He said, oh, I see you're having Sean Casey on. Why don't you ask Sean the time that he faced a young Clayton Kershaw? And then he sent me a link to the video. And I go, oh, that's not nice. I can't lead with that with Sean Casey, kind enough to get up and join us on the program. But I will. Hey, buddy, how are you? Yeah, you got your knees buckled.
Well, you know what? It's so great. I mean, it's not great. It's just what an experience. It's my last year with the Red Sox. We're in Vero Beach, right? And it's like the sixth inning. I'm trying to get some work in. It's probably going to be my last at bat. And I look out on the mound. It's like number 98. Just this big dude. Looks like a young kid, you know. And I'd say to Dave Magnin, I was like, "Who is this guy? You got anything on him?" He's like, "Nah, I don't know, man. It's like some rookie they just brought up to get some innings in." I'm like, all right. So I go to Tito. I'm like, hey, Tito. I'm like, seen this guy before? He's like, some rookie they brought up off the backfield. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. So I go up there, you know, I'm leading off the inning, and I see a couple pitches, you know, lining them up. Danny, I get in there first pitch. Boom, I'm ready to go. Bam, 98 outside corner. I'm like, what? And I look over. I swear, I step out, and I'm kind of like, is this a joke? Is this a joke on me? I'm looking around. I look over at Joe Torre, who's the manager of the Dodgers at the time, Larry Bowa. They're just like, oh, they're giggling around like, you know, oh, man, they know something I don't know. So I get back in, deep breath. You know, I'm like, come on, I'm a 12-year vet. I'm going to dominate here. Next pitch, wham, just one of the most unbelievable hammers I've ever seen coming at my face. And I'm just like, start buckling, right? Bam, strike two. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And now Torre and those guys are crying, laughing. Next pitch, he paints it outside black. I mean, it was like 97, bam. And I look back, and the umpire calls it a ball. I'm like, oh, man, that's like a veteran move. Like, he doesn't know who this guy is either, but we've never seen stuff like this. So I look back. I'm like, thank you. Next pitch, I mean, literally, I thought it was going to hit me. Curveball, boom, strike three. I mean, just Tony's frozen pizza. Like, don't know what to do. Just right here, I'm out, right? And I walk back, and I said to Francona, I go, you don't know who this guy is? And Tito goes, I don't know, but I'm just glad I'm not you.
You called that the nastiest pitch you ever faced, that curveball that he threw you back then.
I swear, you know, all those years in the big leagues facing different guys. I mean, Zito had a good curveball, but I'd never seen 97 like darted down and then a hook like that. It was like he threw it up in the spin, and it was scary. I thought it was going to hit me, and I just like – I like turned into a four-year-old kid like, oh, mommy. You know, it was unbelievable. And, man, he made me look like – and then he got called up later in that year, and I was like, that's the guy. I said, that's the guy to face. That's the guy to face. And then when he started dominating, I was like, yes, he's dominating everybody. You know?
Did you ever talk to Kershaw about that at bat?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I think a couple years later at the All-Star game, I was working for MLB Network and I was out there, you know, interviewing guys. And I think one of the first things I asked him was, hey man, you did me dirty, bro. I didn't even know who you were. And he goes, hey, I had to, you know, I knew I was facing Sean Casey, said something like that. He's like, I had to get him. I'm like, oh man, you got me. All right. Like I felt so, so small. I was like, I need to retire.
All right. Let's start with the move last night when Cash goes to the mound. Now, what did you think that he should do with Blake Snell in that moment?
Boy, I just know as a hitter, when there's certain guys that are on the mound, and you know, I know he punched out Mookie twice. He had punched out Seager and Turner twice. And I understand what Cash is saying because that's what they've done all year long. So, you know, I know they don't like to have the pitcher face the lineup three times. But I know Snell was dominant. I mean, he was just had great stuff. So for me as a hitter, if you've punched me out twice, I'm not looking forward to that third time up. That means something really good's happening out there. And so I love Cash, a great friend of mine. I disagreed with it because I know as a hitter, just get this guy out of here as quick as we can. I mean, bring a guy in with a rocket launcher. I don't care. Just I need to see something else besides what's going on out there. So I don't know, man. I'm second guessing Cash, and they're in the World Series for a reason, but I would not have taken Snell out right there.
Yeah, and Mookie said after the game, he was like, man, I was relieved that they took him out because I felt like I had a chance. And, you know, they brought in Anderson, and he had been hitting right-handers better than left-handers.
Yeah, I think, yeah. What was it? Mookie's slugging percentage off lefties was like .218. And so it just didn't make sense. And Anderson was the one guy, too, that, like, I know he's been really good these last few years, but he hasn't had a great postseason. He's the one guy I felt like was pretty hittable. And when Mookie got that double, I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
What do you think is the future of analytics in baseball?
Well, that's a great question because I think it's going to come back around again. Like I just really believe there is something to be said, like about the mental side of the game, about the flow of the game, the mojo of the game, about really seeing what your eyes are seeing. You know, you can't judge. Like people always say about hitting. I'm like, listen, when I'm in the box, like I really am trying to dumb things down. I'm trying to see the ball and hit the ball. Like I'm really trying to slow the game down. Like there's no analytics that can help me with that stuff. And you need a human being to be able to measure, hey man, he's really seen the ball wet or he's feeling good today. I talked to him when he came to the yard. So I think there's going to be more of that. I think we're starting to get analytics heavy. And I just think the cycle is going to bring it back to, hey, we still need those baseball guys that have that pass the eye test.
I love that Mookie Betts was on display for the nation to see because baseball has become regional, but I'm glad that people got to see him and he does everything. He's not one dimensional, which a lot of our baseball players now are one dimensional or it feels that way. He did it on the bases, he did it in the field, he did it at the plate, and I can't say enough about him. I love watching him play. I think he's very smart. He's not a big guy, but no, he's not afraid. And I know Seager got the MVP. I think that, you know, I think Mookie was the MVD, the most valuable Dodger.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he put them over the top, too. I think without Mookie Betts, they don't win the whole thing. And you're right, Danny, man. When you watch him play, it's everything you'd want to bring your son to watch. Like, you know, hey, watch this guy hit. Then when he gets on base, it's like, okay, now you're a base runner. You know, he does everything, the way he cuts the corners, the way he gets jumps. I loved it last night after the game. They asked him about, you know, the read he got, you know, scoring from third base. And he said, hey, listen, I knew I needed to get a big secondary. I knew I needed to get going quickly. And I was able to do that. Like, I just love the fact that he runs the bases well. He plays gold glove defense. He hustles on and off the field. He can hit. He just does everything that you would want to see a baseball player do. And that's why he's one of the best in the game.
I brought this up to the commissioner last week where I understand you're going to have a shift, but I would prefer not to have the shortstop on the other side of second base or second base on the other side of, second base with the shortstop. I just don't want extreme shifts. Am I asking too much there? Is it fixable?
I kind of feel the same way you do. I don't know. Like, is it like the illegal defense kind of thing in the NBA or you know what I mean? I think I feel the same way sometimes too. And, you know, it's such a big deal now. It's such a big thing to see. Hey, guys are beating the shift in the postseason. They're going the other way. They're staying inside it, you know? And you know, people always say, well, if they start to do that, they'll shift back. Well, you're not going to ask your big power hitters to just beat the shift all the time. You got to actually hit the ball out of the ballpark nowadays in this game. But I agree with you, man. I don't love the shift. And I know people say, hey, it's a strategy thing. I get it. But, you know, everyone's on one side of the field. And like, I don't know. I don't love it.
And the Justin Turner situation last night, like how bizarre is this that in the middle of game 6 of the World Series, I don't know what would happen if there was a game 7 because Justin Turner was around all of his teammates. I mean, nothing had changed. It felt like once the game started, Sean, then you know what? Everybody gets to play the rest of the game. Like I don't know. It just felt, you imagine this in the Super Bowl third quarter, somebody's, you know, they have an inconclusive test and then they take another one and they go out and play. And then they go in the third quarter. You know, Tom Brady, come here. You got to sit down. You tested positive.
Oh my gosh. No, I mean, seriously, I mean, it's crazy. It's almost par for the course for this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, the World Series, your number three hitter has COVID in the middle of the game. It's crazy. And it was weird because Joe Buck kept saying, you know, Turner's out of the game. We'll have to find out why. I mean, I never would have in my wildest dreams thought, yeah, he left the game in the middle of the game with COVID. Like, that's just crazy.
And then you're going onto the field to, you know, after the, and he'd been told not to go out there on the field. I know you want to celebrate, but, and maybe he thought, look, I've been around these guys. I'm going out there to celebrate. I understand where, what his thought process is, but for Major League Baseball, you can't let Justin Turner go out there. If you're pulling him from the game, he can't go on the field to celebrate.
Yeah. I'm sure emotions were so high with Turner and that, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know what I would have done there, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a very touchy thing and, you know, you don't want to put other people in danger.
Well, I would want to go out and celebrate with my teammates. I don't even know if I'll be with the Dodgers next year. He's a free agent. I understand it's the best, biggest moment of your baseball career, but Major League Baseball or the Dodgers have to say, Justin, you can't go out there. You can't go out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. Anybody have more energy than you?
it's just me. Brett Phillips, I think, does.
Did you ever have a manager get talked out of taking a pitch? Like, you would be on the mound at first base. Did you ever hear a conversation where a pitcher talked his manager out of taking him out of a game? Was there any weird?
Let me see. I'm sure I did. I can't think of one off the top of my head. It didn't happen too often. I mean, there might've been one or two times, but you know, I'm sure I did, but I love it. I love it when you're able to have that conversation. If the manager comes out and the pitcher says, no, I'm not coming out of this game. And you know, I don't know if that happens the way it did back in the day, Danny, but you know, I've seen it a couple times.
You never went to the manager and said, you know what, I think you should pull him?
No, I never did. Okay. Never did. You know, I kind of relied on the manager to just, you know, do that. I remember Dave Miley one time came out to the mound and he was like, we were meeting at the mound and he hadn't got anybody. He's like about to get the lefty. He looked at me, he was like, hey, Case, I got to go with the lefty right here. I'm like, I don't know. I just play first base. You know, that's your decision. I don't know. Get the lefty, the righty, whoever you think. Just do it.
Did a pitcher ever ask the manager to have you pulled from the game?
Maybe. Yes. I might have
had
a few times. Yes.
Oh, thanks for getting up. Always great to see you. Enjoy the offseason there, Sean. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, Danny. Thanks a lot, man. See you soon, brother.
That's Sean Casey. He's always got energy. Like, I get energy from his energy. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. And once again, we'll talk to Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, coming up at the top of the hour. When we come back, Trevor Lawrence leaves the window open, possible return to Clemson. We'll hear from the QB after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Paulie has a fresh poll question here. I'll get to that coming up in a moment. I just got this from a college football source. Wisconsin update. Graham Mertz, in all likelihood, had COVID prior to the game against Illinois, but tested negative, was at all the team activities leading up to the game, so it spread throughout the team. A significant number of positives this week. Game with Nebraska growing doubtful. The Big Ten didn't build in byes into its schedule. We don't know the extent of this. Once again, this is just a source who has been on and been correct with everything that he's given me throughout this college football season, and just said that there's a lot of positive tests, positive results with the Wisconsin football team, and that game is growing doubtful, game against Nebraska. Trevor Lawrence left the door open, or at least a window, that he might come back to Clemson and play another season. Here is the Clemson quarterback yesterday.
Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart to leave the door open. I don't know if this is breaking news. We talked about it that, you know, he could say that he's going to stay. I don't know what reasons he would be given. You know, I don't know if somebody pressed him and say, what are the reasons why you wouldn't go to the NFL? That, because he said a lot of things can change. Like what? In his mind, I'd like to know. You know what's going to change? My mind is if the Jets don't win a game this year. Now, if he said that, then I would love that. But, of course, he's not going to. But didn't. I wanted impressed a little bit on this. Just to say, like, what are the factors why you wouldn't go to the NFL? Yeah, McLevin.
Couldn't it be that if Clemson doesn't win the title or he doesn't win the Heisman?
No, but I want him telling me those things.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true. But if he says, look, I want to play in front of a crowd. I want to win another national title. If I don't win the Heisman, I'd like to give the school a Heisman trophy. Like there could be things he could say. I just want to know, it's not why would you come back to Clemson, it's why wouldn't you go to the NFL, is how I would phrase it. Yes, Tony?
Now, is he hoping to be selected by a good team? He doesn't know how this works. Usually the team with the worst record gets that first pick. He's going to end up on a bad team, whether he comes out.
Well, he's not saying that. He's not. We're saying that. Like, who would want to play for the Jets? I don't know what his thought process is. He might say, hey, whoever takes me number one, just being the number one pick in the draft, I'll go wherever I'm told to go. It'd be an honor to be the number one pick in the draft. I mean, that's what he should say. Yeah, Paul.
If he wasn't comfortable with the Jets, in lieu of forcing a trade, Andrew Luck went back to college and stayed an extra year, and Peyton Manning stayed an extra year. Those are the two biggest sure thing number one picks, I think, of our lifetime, like Trevor Lawrence's.
But didn't those decisions hinge on the team that was going to be drafting them? That Andrew Luck didn't want to go to Carolina, and Peyton Manning would have gone to the Jets. So that's why they decided to go back.
Right.
Yeah, McLevin.
Well, Andrew Brandt was on the show and said that everyone knew. He said it like this. Everyone knew Andrew Luck didn't want to go to the Panthers. Apparently, NFL media world did not know that because that exploded. I didn't remember that. Maybe that's true. But people were like, wait, Andrew Luck didn't want to go to the Panthers?
I didn't remember that. So, and when Andrew Brandt, who worked with the Packers, was... I mean, Andrew Brandt also dropped the bombshell. If David Pollack had still been on the board, the Packers would have taken him instead of Aaron Rodgers. He was a great guest.
But I love when teams are like, oh, I was going to take that guy.
Oh, no, that's my favorite. That's my favorite game when you hear, you know what? We were thinking about taking Russell Wilson. He went through first round and second round. You could have had him. Oh, we were thinking about taking Dak Prescott. You could have had a chance. All right, here's the new poll question. Let's assume the Jets have the number one pick in the draft. In August, next August, Trevor Lawrence will be a New York Jet on another team, a Clemson Tiger. And you have to have your answer today, so then we can bring it back in August. Todd?
Trevor Lawrence will be a Jet.
All right.
Next year.
McLevin?
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
All right. Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
Another team.
All right. Polyester?
Another team.
I'm going to go another team as well.
Now, round two, do we guess that team?
No, I can't do that today. It's way too much pressure on me. A couple of phone calls in here. Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al.
Hey.
Al.
How you doing?
Great.
Am I the only person who is sick and tired of these Ivy League know-it-alls peeking their taped-up frames on top of a screen, ruining sports? The best game of a World Series in my lifetime, although it is a sad memory, is Game 7 of the 91 World Series. John Smoltz, Jack Morris, dealing late into the game, and we're never going to see that anymore. And it's even spilling over into football, ruining going forward on fourth down, because teams are doing it in the second quarter, because the analytics say that gives them a higher chance of winning. Like, it's ruining sports, Dan.
I know, Al. Yes, McLevin.
Why does a two-point play ruin sports, though? Isn't that more exciting than the extra point?
I'm okay with the two-point conversion. It's just when they take out the book and then they go, okay, no, we don't go for it now. We'll go for it at a certain point in a different quarter.
Oh, I know. But we would rip them. Remember Herm Edwards would screw up all those decisions and people would kill him?
Jared in Wisconsin. Hi, Jared.
Hey, DP, thanks for having me. Longtime listener. 5'11", 295. I just want to give a huge shout-out to the Dodgers ball club. I'm born and raised in L.A. A lot of heartbreak over the last couple of years. My dad raised me a huge Dodger fan. I grew up at Dodger Stadium. This was the first season that I didn't have him around. He passed away August of 19. And I didn't have him around to hug or call or anything when they won. And he was always there for me when they lost. So I just want to give a shout out to him for always supporting this club and to the entire organization for a job well done. It's been an absolute pleasure to watch in this crazy, crazy season. And
yeah, it was fun. And, you know, congratulations on that. I think we all, if you're of a certain age, you're sharing those moments with your father.
Not all of us.
Yeah, Paulie. Sorry, Paulie.
It's all right.
Your dad died when you were 11?
Yeah, he was killed on Halloween, too, a couple days away from now. Thanks for bringing that dude into L.A. Go Dodgers. Preach. I was kind of in a good mood.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I love when my kids come home with the candy. And I'm
well, it's not
there.
Like you would have had great memories watching the Cubs back then. They weren't any good.
No, my dad had no good memories watching the Cubs.
No, he wouldn't.
And he kicked before the 85 Bears, too, the ultimate salt in my wound.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
How old was your dad when he died, Todd?
I was just graduating college.
Oh, okay.
So I was 22. I think he was like 48 or something.
Oh, okay. So you had a couple of memories there.
Still sad.
Thank you, Todd.
I graduated NYU in May of 91. He passed away in November of 91, the day of the New York City Marathon. So I don't like the marathon anymore.
Are you sadder than Paulie is?
We're debating the grieving process
yes,
of our dad.
Exactly.
I wish Paul would have had many, many more years with his father. I'll say that.
Yeah, but he didn't even get to go out Halloween. He didn't go trick-or-treating.
Thanks for bringing that up, Todd.
We hope to hear from Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, and the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen, here on the Dan Patrick Show.
I'm going to go call my dad.